Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, families of vets killed in Iraq are suing megabanks for financing terrorism via money laundering. Then, master hacker Guccifer tells the New York Times he uncovered a nuclear false flag for Chicago scheduled for 2015, and predictably, the Times could care less. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
More than 80 wounded U.S. combat veterans and their families have filed suit against several of the world's largest banks. They are accusing them of committing acts of international terrorism by helping Iran fund and arm Iraqi terrorists. Now, the suit alleges that the international banks were knowingly part of a conspiracy by Iran to skirt international sanctions. The banks agreed to alter, falsify, or omit information from payment messages that involved Iran or Iranian parties. This is including the banks, and each of these defendants knowingly entered into an agreement with Iran and its agents. Now, the court documents say that with the help of the accused banks, Iran has been able to secretly move billions of dollars in U.S. currency through the United States in a manner that was designed to purposefully circumvent monitoring regulators. And this is said to include hundreds of millions of dollars to Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and other terrorist organizations that are actively engaged in murdering and maiming U.S. servicemen and civilians in Iraq. So obviously some of the hurdles facing the veterans is that they must be able to show that these attacks were not executed by reason of an act of war. Wartime claims are exempted from the Anti-Terrorism Act because the law wasn't intended to give soldiers a private right of action in a military conflict. They're basically saying casualties of war happen. But according to this suit, these were not acts of war, but acts of terrorism, and U.S. troops were the target. So what do you think? Are the banks complicit in this? We've reported many times they've always funded both sides of the war, just like the banks fund both sides of the drug trade. Now, you'll recall that we actually interviewed the HSBC whistleblower Everett Stern last year. He exposed the fact that the banks were using really creative ways to undermine these U.S. sanctions, and they were coming up with really creative ways to do business with these countries that were under U.S. sanctions, specifically HSBC, specifically Iran. So we know these too-big-to-jail banks are complicit in this. They've helped aid and abet and fund terrorism. But what about the government's complicity? They send the troops to go and fight these wars under false pretenses.
The already dominant British Empire grew even more aggressive. Her troops and bureaucracy spread across the globe. The sun never set on Britannia's holdings.
The banking cartel funded, in fact, since about 1800, they have funded both sides of almost every war. And of course, they're getting the interest off of the loans that they've given the various governments and the wars that they have actually helped stimulate and create.
By 1900, Germany was a rising force and a leader of the Industrial Revolution.
World War I, for instance, there was absolutely no reason to have World War I, except that it was an ideal opportunity for the banking cartel to make a pile of money by funding both sides of that particular war.
On June 28, 1914, the heir to the Austrian-Hungarian throne, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, was assassinated while traveling in a motorcade. The Black Hand, a Serbian secret society with connections to French and British intelligence, took credit. World War I had begun. Companies financed by Rothschild-controlled banks in Germany, France, England, and Austria bankrolled all the factions. at least 20 million were killed in the war. It was a conflict so terrible, the people vowed to never fight again. They dubbed it the War to End All Wars.
Question is, why did they want war? Well, first of all, there's money and power. But secondly, they wanted to create the League of Nations. They had this in their plans all along, and as a consequence, once the war was over or about to be over, they began to formulate this idea of a League of Nations so this would never, ever happen again.
Hundreds of years of practice made the British experts at hiding their empire behind puppet governments and councils. In the name of stopping all future conflicts, they proposed that countries would join a League of Nations. Their true intention was for the League to serve as a framework for world government.
But of course, it's not just the banks, but the corporatocracy that we are living under. And a new study out of Princeton is basically making it official. The U.S. has officially become an oligarchy. This is according to a new study by Princeton University professor. It's on the influence of very wealthy or economically powerful persons on American political policies. And it makes it clear that for the first time, a genuine American oligarchy has staged a slow coup d'etat over U.S. foreign and domestic policy over the past three decades. And this is since the era of Ronald Reagan. This American oligarchy today is the major force for war and disorder across the planet. Now, the study concludes that multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens have little or no influence. The results provide substantial support for theories of economic elite domination. Goes on to say that we believe that if policymaking is dominated by powerful business organizations and a small number of affluent Americans, then America's claims to being a democratic society are seriously threatened. And they're basing their analysis on volumes of data from 1981 to just 2002, basically showing the role of money on our political system. And of course, which gets worse by the year, there were record reports of record funding into campaigns this year, record spending. And of course, not only does the average citizen have zero influence on politics, but of course, those setting policy are counting on our ignorance.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage.
How in the world can this be HIPAA compliant? Which HIPAA is designed to protect the patient's privacy, and this explicitly says, in order to continue, you have to accept this condition that you have no privacy or no reasonable expectation of privacy.
Three different people were given access to her account, her address, and her Social Security number.
Well, first off, the bill has 10 years of tax increases, about $500 billion, with 10 years of Medicare cuts, about $500 billion, to pay for 6 years of spending.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period.
But for the average person, many of folks who don't have health insurance initially, they're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors, in part because they're saving money.
The Supreme Court is going to take that case, and the question is, are they going to stick to the way it was written, or are they going to rewrite it?
That the interesting thing about the bill, all 2,000 pages of it, it's a gigantic blank check.
Their insurance is stronger, better, more secure than it was before.
Premiums go up. Employers not going to want to pay those premiums. They're going to pass on as much as possible to the employee.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
And of course, that is why we must hold them accountable. Now, the threat of a ruling elite taking down America is what prompted top hacker Guccifer to take action. Now, you'll recall that he leaked those self-portraits of George W. Bush that he drew of himself bathing in a bathtub. He also exposed emails showing Colin Powell's ties to Bohemian Grove. And he also plundered a trove of personal emails of celebrities, military brass, and top politicians. And he did all of this while lacking any real computer skills, according to him. Well, he is now serving a 7-year prison sentence, and there he wrote a letter explaining his purpose for hacking. That it includes the terrorist attacks of 9/11, the death of Princess Diana, and alleged plans for a nuclear attack in Chicago in 2015. He wrote, "This world is run by a group of conspirators called the Council of Illuminati, very rich people, noble families, bankers, and industrialists from the 19th and 20th century." Now, Guccifer has seen their emails, seen into the personal lives of these ruling elites, seen into their plans, and the New York Times just glosses over this fact. It doesn't mention anything that would actually give a little weight or credibility to his conspiracy theories. They're just allowing the prosecutor to paint him as a peeping Tom who just wanted to look at naked pictures of celebrities, when, according to Guccifer, he absolutely could care less about the celebrities that he came across. He took action because he was concerned about the threat of a ruling class taking down America. And beyond that, here we have a top hacker who has access to these people's accounts warning of a nuclear threat on the city of Chicago planned for 2015. New York Times doesn't go into that at all. Now, you'll recall last year that we reported on those missing nukes that were missing from Dyess Air Force Base. They refused to deny that there was some sort of a secret nuke transfer, although it conveniently coincided with a very cryptic announcement from Senator Lindsey Graham, who said that a nuclear attack may hit South Carolina if we don't go to war with Syria. Remember when all that was going on? I wonder who he works for.
Guccifer, the Romanian hacker who accessed private email accounts of numerous top government and military officials, as well as the Bush family, is quoted in the New York Times as predicting a nuclear attack on Chicago sometime in 2015. Having eluded the FBI and the Secret Service for years, Guccifer, real name Marcel Lazar, infamously hacked George W. Bush's creepy self-portraits while also accessing email accounts belonging to Colin Powell, as well as military officers and celebrities. He is now serving a 7-year prison sentence in Romania. Explaining the purpose behind his hacking, which was conducted merely by guessing the security answers to people's email accounts to obtain their passwords, Guccifer's manifesto is, quote, "A potpourri of conspiracy theories about the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, the 1997 death of Princess Diana, and alleged plans for a nuclear attack in Chicago in 2015. And whether you believe it to be the work of a conspiracy or a plot crafted by a group like ISIS, the fact is that Chicago has been a terror target since 9/11. Earlier this summer, the FBI warned that ISIS were planning to target major US cities after the terror group put out a series of chilling tweets identifying the Old Republic building in Chicago as being in the crosshairs. Guccifer also makes another intriguing comment during the New York Times interview, quote, "This world is run by a group of conspirators called the Council of Illuminati, very rich people, noble families, bankers and industrialists from the 19th and 20th century." Of course, a far cry from the original 18th century Bavarian Illuminati, the modern incarnation largely centers around claims by hip-hop artists and other members of the entertainment industry that they're part of an occult secret elite that controls the planet. In name-checking the Illuminati, Guccifer is most likely making the general point that global events are coordinated and managed to some extent by elite banking families, just as they have been down the centuries. But what's your view on Guccifer's comments about the Illuminati and a nuclear attack on Chicago in 2015? Let me know in the comments below. Check out the other videos, subscribe to the channel. I'm Paul Joseph Watson reporting for Infowars.com.
And others like Edward Snowden and, of course, WikiLeaks has said it is their duty to stand up for truth and justice. And now a group of over 50 musicians, actors, celebrities and other public figures have sworn a statement in support of these groups. The statement reads, "We stand in support of those fearless whistleblowers and publishers who risk their lives and careers to stand up for truth and justice. Thanks to the courage of sources like Danielle Ellsberg, Chelsea Manning, Jeremy Hammond, and Edward Snowden, the public can finally see for themselves the war crimes, corruption, mass surveillance, and abuses of power of the U.S. government and other governments around the world. Now, Viggo Mortensen, who has been a guest on the Alex Jones Show, had his own statement as well. And he says, as Albert Camus once put it, governments, by definition, do not have consciences. They have policies and nothing more. Therefore, it is up to all of us free-thinking citizens to demand truly transparent democracy and high, unbiased moral standards for those who govern us. So very wise words there from King Aragorn to help defeat the Eye of Sauron.
Actually, I believe the correct pronunciation is Sauron. Just saying.
Okay, well, wise words there from the Peanut Gallery. Travis is single, ladies. Anybody that wants some expert knowledge on the Lord of the Rings? Right back there. Now, coming up, have you always dreamed of becoming a member of the federal family? Well, we will tell you how you can get your own card to become a Snitch Society member. Coming up next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Group. Today, I'm proud and excited to announce a new product to the InfoWars Life product line. Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, everything that you're exposed to on a daily basis ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. You have over 30 feet of intestinal lining that can be compacted, that can be toxic, that can be full of parasites, fungus, bacteria. What are you doing to keep that clean and flushed out? My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. You owe it to yourself to take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Hey guys, Rob Dew from InfoWars.com, and I want to give you a quick sneak peek at what's going to happen tomorrow on the Alex Jones Show. Probably at noon central, we're going to be joined by the legendary Rick Ross here, who at one time was the largest crack cocaine dealer in Los Angeles and California, and probably even the United States, but has since learned, you know, the system and what's going on behind it. Now, Rick, I guess when you first found out about these alleged government connections into this drug dealing, how did you feel?
Didn't believe it.
You didn't believe it?
No.
And then at what point did you finally come to the realization that, yeah, it actually happened?
Well, you know, even I started seeing all the evidence and I still was like, nah. And it was only until the government said theirself that, yeah, we were involved. I mean, when I was like absolutely positively sure that,
yeah,
I'm like, they investigated themselves and they admitted that they were involved. Wow, who could not believe it now, you know?
So. And there's still people out there who want to deny it. And this, if you look at what the war on drugs produced, it produced a larger prison population. It produced a lot of people into that system, which has basically become indentured servitude because they're getting people to do work for free. They got you when you get out. You got to pay money into the system. I mean, you've been dealing with all this stuff. I mean, it is just a system
phone
built
calls,
on.
It costs you 25 cents a minute. I remember when they used to be 50 cents a minute when everybody else out here was getting it for like 5 cents.
Yeah. And so how long were you in prison for?
I did a total of 20 years in about 3 months.
God, I can't even imagine. And what was it like when you came out? What was the first thing you did?
What did I do? Oh, get on the bus. I've just been trying to get my life back together.
Right.
You know, when you've been taken away from society for 20 years, you know, it's like a transition that you have to constantly get used to. And I'm still getting used to it now. You know, I've been out almost 6 years, but it's still a transition, you know, that... just got off parole, and you know, I still have a thing when I see cops, I start trembling. You know,
I do that too. I mean, that's the mark of a bad system. I mean, the cops should be the guy that you go to for help, not the guy that you're looking at going, wait,
is he gonna
get me for something? Is he gonna make up something? I mean, we've got, you know, tapes after tapes of people getting, you know, manhandled by the cops, getting slapped by the cops. Recently, we just had one guy. Yeah,
I'm
guy said, oh, yeah.
See these scars in my face? All those are from police brutality.
Really?
While I was handcuffed, yeah.
God.
And they let the dog bite me. And
Planted
drugs on me. You know, they couldn't catch. I mean, I was selling drugs, but they couldn't catch me selling drugs.
Right.
So what they did is they just planted on you.
They do that to a lot of people. And we've even caught them on tape doing that. You see, it's just amazing what goes on. There are some good cops out there, but, you know, we got to point out the bad apples when we do see them.
And this drug war creates bad cops.
It does.
I mean, any time that they put your promotion on how much drugs you seize and how many people you arrest, that's bad. That's bad policing.
It just came out that there's a wish list out there for property that they can, you know, we're trying to look for boats or we're trying to look for big cars or, you know, they've created a wish list now. So they're basically looking at the human people as targets. Everybody's got a target on their back at this point. Anybody can potentially be a target.
If you have a nice car, a nice house.
Oh, yeah, you could
be next.
Little
jury.
Exactly, exactly. And, I mean, at the time, how big was your organization? How much were you running at the time when you got busted?
We were doing $1 million. Well, when I got busted, I wasn't selling drugs anymore.
Oh.
I quit.
All right.
But when I, in my heyday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wised up and said, you know what, pretty soon you're going to get caught. You know, these guys are planting drugs on you.
Right,
now,
right.
And it's only going to, I mean, they shot at me when I was unarmed.
Really?
Yeah, they shot at me. So I was like, you know, it's only a matter of time before one of them is going to get... You know, get what he wants and either kill you or you know, send you to prison on one of these bunk charges. So I quit.
God, man. Mm. Well, we're going to get the rest of the story tomorrow with Alex Jones live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. Rick's going to be doing at least a two-hour interview. We're going to get him in here for the nightly news as well and also sit him down for a documentary that we're going to be making about this whole phony drug war that they started basically to prey on the American people, prey on the people who didn't have enough money to pay for expensive lawyers. Because if you get caught with drugs and you're rich, well, you can get out of it. Jeez. But if you don't have the infrastructure and the system backed up upon you, well, forget it. You're going to jail for a long time.
Bye-bye.
Yep. This has been Rob Dew for Infowars.com. Join us tomorrow on The Alex Jones Show.
Peace.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Grew. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
And if you plan on visiting any NFL games this year, you too can become a member of the Snitch Society. The Department of Homeland Security's See Something, Say Something campaign is pumping the stadiums full with propaganda. They're giving promotional mouse pads. They're urging attendees to watch their fellow Americans for unusual behavior. And they're asking football fans to keep their good eye open and report all suspicious activity. So there, are they hinting to the all-seeing eye there or the eye of Sauron? You know, even though terrorism is basically non-existent here in the United States, the Department of Homeland Security is pumping out this fear that the only way to stop terrorism and stop terrorists is spying on your neighbors. It's the first line of defense. Now, another arm of this snitch society is going to be school health screenings. Now, it's under the guise of helping struggling school children deal with complex emotions and mental health issues is what we're being told. But of course, there is more to the story. Now, the Obama executive orders that were written in the wake of the Sandy Hook shooting introduced a number of policy laws that are designed to mandate mental health programs and screening and include gun talk as part of the deal. WorldNet Daily reports that critics say personal information scooped up in the screenings will be logged into databases that will follow the child throughout his or her academic career and beyond. Public schools, which have increasingly taken on aspects of psychiatric clinics in recent years, are going to get infused with more than $150 million in federal grants. They're going to further this agenda of Obama's 2013 executive action titled, Now is the Time to Do Something About Gun Violence. So basically, the schools are charged with pumping your kids full of drugs just so they can sit still in these robo classrooms where they're basically just being trained into being good little puppets of society, good little robots. And then they're going to use these mental health issues to bar children from their Second Amendment rights before they even reach adulthood, which of course is the plan to take away guns from veterans and probably police officers who are suffering with PTSD. Now, obviously, there are people out there who are too mentally disturbed to do anything, really take responsibility for any area of their life, let alone be able to own a gun. But how will these mental health screenings be used in the future to deem someone unfit? Will insomnia bar you from having a gun or depression, stress? Basically, they could take anything from medical marijuana or alcoholism and also prescription drugs. I mean, more than half the population is being prescribed these prescription drugs, as well as a lot of children who are in school getting diagnosed with ADHD. So these could be potential things that are deemed to say a person has mental health issues and shouldn't be allowed a gun. In the words of Ray Bradbury, he says, insanity is relative. It depends on who has who locked in what cage. Well, thank you for tuning into the show tonight. On behalf of everyone here at InfoWars, I want to say thank you to the brave men and women who sacrificed so much putting their life on the line. Now, if you are watching us on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button to the Alex Jones channel and then head over to Prison Planet TV and consider becoming a member. Your subscription allows us to bring you all of this content. You get instant access to nightly news as well as 18 years worth of Alex Jones rants. And of course, you can share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. Thanks again, and we'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp-looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Last week, a man came to this Austin gun store seeking to purchase a firearm and a large amount of ammunition. What makes the store unique? That the man had plans to go to a nearby hospital and commit mass murder.
I don't even want to ever think about what happened last night.
Okay.
I'm not walking through this town another minute without a gun.
All right, so we're here with Michael Cargill, the owner of Central Texas Gunwork. Good to see you, Mike. So tell us exactly what happened.
Well, we had a guy come in on Thursday. He walked into the shop and talked to my clerk, and he was saying he had a really bad day, and he needed to buy a gun, which was, you know, no big deal. A person's had a bad day, something happened in their life, and they want to get a gun to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of used to that, just like any other customer. So then she started, you know, showing him different types of guns. He wanted to, you know, look at a particular one, a SIG. Said a couple other things that kind of set her off a little bit. She was just not sure, you know, about what was going on. I come out to meet the guy and shake his hands and everything. Said, hey, how you doing? My name is Mike. He got out of the hospital and he was really upset about the people at the hospital. And he wanted to get a gun and buy some ammunition and go over there and shoot everyone at the hospital.
We'll be back here in about an hour. I've got 500 rounds of ball, 500 rounds of wad cutter, 500 rounds of the ones that explode.
So that's when I hit the silent alarm, and then continue talking with the guy and let him fill out the paperwork, the 4473. And then the police got here. I pointed him out, you know, say, hey, this is the guy right here. And they kind of grabbed him. As the police came in, he actually said, you know, said it again. You know, he said he was an FBI agent.
So you were telling me that the ATF confiscated the weapon.
Yes. So not only did they confiscate the gun, they also took the .44-73 as well. Because the way I understand it, the guy was in the hospital before coming here to us the first time. When they arrested him, they were going to take him back to the hospital. And the hospital can only hold him for 48 hours. So in order to hold him past that point, they had to get the evidence.
So as far as you know, is he facing any type of charges?
That I'm not sure. Not sure what's going on with that. I know I'm out of a gun.
Do you plan to get the gun back?
They told me that I would probably get the gun back, you know, I'm thinking maybe a year or so.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
Does this happen very frequently?
No, it's a very rare situation. I mean, we have great customers, and that's just one of those things that's happened. Just like, whoa, you know, something's just not right. You know, so it's best that we, you know, take the steps that we did. If we didn't sell him a gun that day, gone somewhere else, got something else other than a firearm, and, you know, acted on it.
So I know he filled out the ATF form and police were called, but you guys used your better judgment to stop this guy from purchasing a firearm. Is that correct?
Correct. That's when the gun store is going to come into play. Everyone has a step in that process. You know, he comes in here to us, you know, we have a conversation, we look and listen. If something does not feel right, then that is up to us to take those extra steps and say, hey, something's not right, we need to turn this over to the authorities.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box.
that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own Detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.